Chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Here we have a familiar narrative or story. And the text is also a familiar verse. Let us read the chapter of Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And to Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And to Adam also and his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, a man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The text this evening is found in verse 15. Here's the content of the curse upon Satan. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Do you know the horrible enmity that Adam and Eve felt after they fell? The horrible misery that Adam and Eve felt after they fell? By their disobedience, they had not only died spiritually, not only were they dying physically, but they had lost their friendship with God from their point of view. By obeying Satan instead of God, they had allied themselves with the enemy of God. From their point of view, they themselves were enemies of God. And along with Satan and his dark legions of demons, they were battling against the good God. This was misery. Such an alliance with Satan was misery. Think about the wonderful, loving fellowship that Adam and Eve had before they fell. In the garden, they walked with God. They talked with Him. God supplied them with every need they had, both physically and spiritually. This was a pure, perfect, wonderful fellowship that they had with God. And now? Now they had listened to the devil. Now they had lost it. They were friends with Satan and enemies of the living God. The precious relationship had been ruined. And as much as they tried to point the finger at one another, they knew that it was their own fault. This was a miserable alliance with Satan. Yet God came. Yet God came to them with the gracious and comforting words of Genesis 3:15. Do you see the comfort in this text? Try to see the comfort. Listen to it. "I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Do you see the comfort? God would not allow his people to continue in that miserable alliance with Satan. No. He would destroy that alliance and replace it with enmity. By putting enmity between his people and Satan, God was bringing his people back to himself. He was showing Adam and Eve that they belonged to him. They will be on his covenant side, fighting against Satan for the living God. And that enmity, that battle, would end in the destruction of Satan. This is the promise of Genesis 3:15. This is the famous promise known as the mother promise. It is the mother promise because from this promise comes all the other covenant promises in Scripture. Comes forth, comes to birth all the other promises in God's Word. Consider this promise with me under the theme, the covenant promise of enmity. The covenant promise of enmity. First, the meaning. Second, the result. And third, the hope. The meaning, the result, and the hope. God places enmity between two sides. On the one hand, there is the side of the serpent and his seed. And on the other hand, there is the side of the woman and her seed. First, the side of the serpent. The "thee" in the text. "I will put enmity between thee." "Thee" refers to the snake who came to Eve. God is cursing the serpent in Genesis 3:15. The snake is the "thee." And so, when God says, "thy seed," it refers to all of the serpent or the snake's seed, all of the snake's descendants, all of the slithering animals of whom this snake is a father to. The whole snake population is referred to here in general. All those that look like him, all those that are in the dust, on their bellies, eating that dust. All snakes, with this serpent as their father, are on this side. On the other side is the woman, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. The woman is Eve. Eve stands there as God curses the snake. And who are the woman's seed? They're Eve's children. All of mankind, right? Since she is the first woman. All human beings are on this other side. And the promise is that there will be enmity between the seed of the woman, all human beings, and between the snake and all of his descendants. This explains the natural hatred that exists between snakes and human beings. Snakes hurt man, they bite men, and men in turn pick up their clubs and shovels and crush the snake's head. But is this any comfort to Adam and Eve? We saw their misery. We saw that they were allied to the devil. They were his friends. This is no comfort to Adam and Eve if it is only a promise that they, as human beings, would fight against snakes and in the end crush the snake's head. They would remain in that evil alliance with Satan. No, there is a spiritual meaning. There is a spiritual significance to both of these sides. Who is that serpent? That serpent is Satan himself. Satan is behind that snake. He is using that snake. In Revelation 12, we read of Satan presented there as a dragon. This dragon attacks a woman that is with child, and this woman is a picture of the church. In verse 9 of Revelation 12, this dragon, Satan, is called that old serpent. That old serpent who was behind that snake in the garden, who tempted Adam and Eve, who instigated their fall. Satan is the head of this evil side. And who are his seed? Satan's seed, like the serpent's seed, are all of his descendants, all of his children, all those of whom he is a father. In John 8, verse 44, Jesus describes Satan's seed. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of it. Christ Jesus here speaks to the Jewish unbelievers, those who were the liars, those who were the murderers, who would take Christ to the cross. All Satan's seed are those who do not believe the truth, who hate the truth, and act like Satan, the liar. All those on his side are the reprobate, those whom God has given over to the devil. They may not realize it. They may not realize that they are on Satan's side. They may not realize that they are being used by him, for Satan blinds them and uses them for his wiles. But they are on this side. This side includes the Antichrists. This side includes the Antichrist. This side includes the world that acts like their father, the liar, the deceiver, Satan himself. This side fights, battles, engages in the enmity against the woman's side. The woman's side and her seed are unlike Satan's seed. The woman's seed are born of God. In John 1, verse 13, we read, Christ says that sons of God, these sons of God are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The seed of the woman, or the sons of God, the children of God, born again by the Spirit of God. They are the church, manifest today, and manifest in the Old Testament. The seed of the woman is the church of God. But at the center of this seed of the woman is one seed, Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. Notice the pronouns in the text, especially it and his. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head. It refers to the seed of the woman. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. These two pronouns are exactly the same in the original. But focus on the fact that these two pronouns are singular. The seed of the woman is singular. This text is referring to the seed, the one person, Christ Jesus, who stands at the center of the church. He is the seed of the woman who engages in enmity with the seed of the serpent. Between these two sides, seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, God promises a terrible enmity. This enmity is a deep hatred, and not only that, out of this deep hatred, this enmity realizes itself in activity. It is a battle. It is a horrible war. Satan and his seed hate God and his covenant. Satan saw that loving, wonderful relationship that God had with Adam and Eve in the garden, and he hated that relationship. He hated that covenant with God, and so he acted in that hatred. That's why he came to Adam and Eve. That's why he tempted Eve. That's why he instigated the fall of both Eve and Adam. And when Adam and Eve fell, it looked as though they were friends with Satan and enemies of God. They had seemingly destroyed the covenant relationship that they once had with God when they obeyed Satan instead of God. They thought that God hated them, and they miserably sided with the devil. But God came, remember? God came and placed enmity between the first parents and Satan. It looked as though there were friendship. There was friendship between Adam and Eve and Satan. But God said, no, no, not friendship. Enmity will be between thee and my people. How did he place that enmity there? He came. He came in love to Adam and Eve, and he showed them his love. He showed them that they had forsaken him, but he had never forsaken them. He showed that he had maintained his covenant fellowship with them. And in showing them his love and his continued covenant, he infused into them powerfully a love for God and a love for his covenant. Now, they loved God's covenant. And because they loved God and his covenant, they naturally hated Satan, who attacked God and his covenant. Because they loved God and the covenant fellowship with him, there was enmity between them and Satan. Listen again to the promise. See the comfort. God says, I will put enmity between thee. No, not friendship. Enmity between thee and the woman. Between thy seed and her seed. What does that mean? What is God saying? Listen. God is saying, Satan, you have foolishly instigated that fall. You have foolishly sought to make an evil alliance with my people. But it is impossible for you, Satan, to destroy my powerful, unconditional bond of friendship and fellowship with my people. My covenant is an unconditional covenant. My people belong to me and not to you. And because they belong to me, they will love me and my covenant. And in love for me and my covenant, they will fight against you. And in the end, they will destroy you utterly. This is the comforting promise of Genesis 3:15. This manifests the love of God to his covenant people. This enmity is a continuing enmity. It is a constant enmity. When the text says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, It can be translated, I am putting enmity between thee and the woman. This is a constant enmity. It continues. God promises that this enmity would continue between the church, his seed, and between Satan. And it will continue exactly because God's covenant friendship with his people will continue. He will not allow Adam and Eve to join with Satan again. They will continually belong to him and fight for him. Satan may attack, and he will attack because he hates God's covenant. But God's people would never lose their friendship with God. They would always be God's friends and enemies of Satan. That enmity continued even after Adam and Eve. Remember, children, the next chapter after the fall, Cain, that first seed of the serpent, rose up and slew Abel, his brother, the seed of the woman. But God maintained that enmity. He did not allow the seed of the serpent to totally overcome the seed of the woman. And so he raised up Seth in Abel's stead. And then the seed of the serpent multiplied. The whole world seemed corrupted. The seed of the woman seemed to have been wiped out. But remember, God preserved Noah and his family, the seed of the woman. And he destroyed the rest of the world with the flood. But then enmity continued. And the line of Noah, Ham, and Canaan rose up. Through history, the seed of the serpent, led by Satan, continued to war against the seed of the woman. They attacked, constantly attacked, the covenant fellowship that God had with his people. The Israelites, remember, versus the Egyptians and the Canaanites. The remnant in Israel versus those falling away to paganism. The remnant of Judah versus the Babylonians and the paganism and the Babylonian captivity. The remnant in Israel who remain faithful and look forward to the Messiah versus those given over to the Greek and Roman influences. Enmity continued. And then Christ came. The seed of the woman came in the line of Adam and Eve as promised, and in the line of David. And he engaged in that enmity. Satan attacked Jesus Christ. He attacked the seed in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. On the streets of Jerusalem and around Judea, he attacked and tempted Christ Jesus. Christ had to fight these temptations, and not to mention he had to fight against the physical temptation, the physical afflictions that Satan presented this seed of the woman. But even after Christ, that enmity continued. That is what has been happening ever since Christ ascended into heaven. Enmity continued as the apostles fought against heretics. Enmity continued as the church fathers fought against the attacks that tried to get rid of the Trinity and the person of Christ. Enmity continued as the reformers fought against the heresies of works, righteousness, and salvation by works. And enmity continued in our own Protestant Reformed churches as we fought against the heresies of common grace and the conditional covenant. We as the Church of Christ are also engaged in this enmity. We must fight in this battle. We as the Church of Christ must defend the doctrines that have been given to us. The precious doctrine of the unconditional covenant is at risk. Satan uses the churches of today trying to destroy the very idea of an unconditional covenant. He uses the federal vision, and he uses many others. We as the Church of Christ must not grow complacent in this battle. We must fight, constantly fight, as this enmity continues. And this enmity does not only exist between the church as a whole with its doctrine against Satan and his attacks, But Satan also attacks us in our personal lives. Remember the world and our own sinful natures, these two enemies that Satan uses? He attacks us. And he tries to cause us to fall like he did Adam and Eve in the garden. He tries to cause us to sin. He tries to make us walk in that sin. We, as the seed of the woman, must engage in the antithesis, fighting against the attacks of Satan. We must engage in this enmity. This is our calling. Why is there this continued enmity? It's because Satan despises the covenant. That is why he attacked Adam and Eve in the garden. That is why he attacked the Old Testament saints. That is why he sought to destroy Christ. That is why he attacks the church now with false doctrines and sin. Satan hates the covenant. He hates the covenant that God has with his people. Do you see the turmoil that exists right now within Protestant Reformed congregations? Satan hates the covenant that God has with his people. And he hates the fellowship that we have one with another. And he seeks to destroy it with this turmoil. And Matthew continues because Satan continues to attack God's covenant, because he hates God's covenant. But enmity continues also because the sovereign God of heaven and earth maintains this enmity. He is the one that has placed that enmity there. Remember? He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He guards that enmity, and he will not allow Satan to destroy his people and his covenant with them. And so he instills in us a love for him and his precious covenant. And in love for him and his covenant, we fight against Satan and against sin. God promises here in Genesis 3:15 a continued enmity. Not friendship, but a continued enmity. But he also promises a certain result. He promises victory, a certain victory. We can start with the physical or literal victory. Remember that animal? That snake and all of his descendants. The promise is that Satan, nor the serpent, the snake, will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. Snakes will bruise the heel, but notice it is only a bruising of the heel. Snakes will inject their venom into the extremities of human beings. But the promise is that mankind and his seed will bruise the head of the serpent. The bruising of the heel does not refer to a mortal wound. Human beings may get the anti-venom, they may be healed, but the bruising of the head refers to a fatal wound, a mortal wound. Adam and Eve may be bitten, but they will always rise up, and all of mankind in turn will rise up with their shovels and with their clubs and crush the snake's head. But there is also a spiritual truth promised, a spiritual victory, more importantly. First of all, a spiritual victory is both promised and given to Adam and Eve. They were bruised. And oh, they were bruised. They fell at the instigation of the devil. They had seemingly destroyed the covenant fellowship that they had with God. And even after this promise came to them, Satan came again and again to tempt them. And Adam and Eve sinned again and again as weak human beings. Satan bruised. But God gave them the victory. With this promise in Genesis 3:15, he gave them the victory. He showed them this promise. He showed them that he would maintain his covenant with them, that they belonged to him. They were his friends and not Satan's friends. In this way, they were victorious over Satan. They were victorious over him because God showed them that they belonged to him and not to Satan. And as friends of God, they will continue in this battle to be victorious over Satan. As Satan sent temptations and came to them to cause doubts in their minds, Adam and Eve resisted these attacks, stood firm on the promise of God, and gained a victory over Satan in their lives. But not only is it given to Adam and Eve, but it is also promised to Adam and Eve. There is a future victory promised to Adam and Eve. The seed, remember? Singular. The seed of the woman would come and destroy Satan. When the seed, the Christ, came, he would crush Satan's head. He would come and restore fully that covenant relationship that Adam and Eve had with God. Adam and Eve look forward to the fulfillment of this promise. They look forward to the Messiah who would come and finally crush Satan's head. This was a promise to all the Old Testament saints as well. Oh, Satan bruised them. He bruised them grievously. Remember, sin grew to such an extent before the flood that it seemed as though the entire side of the seed of the woman was destroyed. Remember, in the time of the kings and judges, it seemed as though Satan had totally destroyed all of God's people, and only Elijah remained. Satan bruised. All through the Old Testament times, it seemed as though Satan had conquered. But there was a remnant that God preserved. And to this remnant, God gave victory by the power of the promise and many other Old Testament promises that came forth from this mother promise. God gave the victory to his saints. He remained faithful to them. And thus they remained faithful to him. He showed them, he assured them of his friendship. And so they fought against Satan. And they were victorious over Satan and his seed in their lives. And like Adam and Eve, they also look forward to that final victory when the seed of the woman would come, Christ Jesus himself, to crush Satan's head. And then Christ Jesus did come. The awaited seed of the woman finally did appear, but he was bruised. Just like Adam and Eve, just like the Old Testament saints, he was bruised. And oh, was he bruised. The devil attacked him. He knew that if he could destroy this seed, this head of the seed of the woman, then the covenant would be crushed. If he could only make Christ Jesus give up, the covenant would be demolished. And so he fought. He fought against Christ. He tempted him. He tempted him. And he continued to tempt him. And he brought much physical suffering upon Christ, this head. He used his seed to press the thorns upon his head. He used his seed to curse, to slap, to flog, to make a bloody mess out of the seed of the woman. And he used the seed of the serpent to hang Christ Jesus on that cross, the most painful suffering he could think of. All this was taking place, however, according to Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman was bruised. But God used Satan's assault on the seed of the woman as his means to crush Satan's head. For at the cross, Christ Jesus crushed Satan. He conquered sin for us. And he manifested that victory by rising again from the dead and ascending into heaven as king over all. At the cross, he fulfilled the promise of Genesis 3:15. He fulfilled that promise that Adam and Eve and all the Old Testament saints were looking forward to. He crushed Satan's head. This is a victory promised and given to us as well. It has been already fulfilled. Christ Jesus died on the cross and gained victory over Satan and sin for us. The battle is as good as done. The fatal blow has been inflicted upon Satan's head. Like that serpent who has been crushed by a shovel, so also Satan has been mortally wounded. But look. Look at that serpent. Look at Satan. He still rages. He still fights. He still attacks us. Like that serpent who desperately wriggles As blood pours from his mortal wound, so Satan fights. Like a wounded soldier who knows that his death is near, madly fights to bring as many down as he can with him, so Satan rages, more powerful than any beast, more powerful than a lion or a bear, more desperate than any such wounded animal. Satan attacks, and he bruises. He bruises us by attacking the doctrines of our church. He bruises by attacking the peace of Israel. He bruises by tempting us to sin. He bruises by sending persecution, and he will bruise more and more as the last days approach. He bruises us by sending doubts into our minds, especially when we have grievously sinned. Have you heard his sinister voice? How can you be a child of God? You can't be in the covenant fellowship with God. Look at what you've done. Satan bruises, and he bruises grievously. But look at the victory, people of God. Look at the victory that Christ Jesus has earned for us already at the cross. He has crushed Satan's head once and for all. We already have the victory with Christ. And by his Spirit, he works a love for God, the covenant in us, so that we fight. We gain the victory over Satan and his temptations in our life. We repent, we forsake our sin, and we turn to the cross for forgiveness. Christ has already gained the victory over Satan and sin. His end is near. Oh, he rages and he bruises. But when he attacks with persecution, when he attacks with sin and temptation to sin, when he attacks with doubts, when he attacks, remember. Do not forget. Remember that blood is flowing from his mortal wound. Christ Jesus has already crushed his head. He may attack, but his attacks are futile. So fight, people of God. Engage in this enmity, knowing that Satan is almost dead. We already have the victory in Christ. And he will finally and fully realize that victory one day. That is our hope. This promise gives the people of God great hope. God's people in the Old Testament had that hope. Adam and Eve had that hope. They were fallen. They had allied themselves to the devil, but God gave them this promise. Enmity, not friendship, enmity would exist. And this enmity would continue all the way until Christ. And Christ would engage in this battle. And he would finally crush Satan's head for them. Adam and Eve looked forward to the Messiah. They had a hope of the Christ, the seed of the woman, who would come and finally gain the victory for them. All the Old Testament saints also had that great hope. They hoped for the Messiah. They looked forward to the seed of the woman to deliver them from their spiritual enemy who constantly attacked them. Their hope was the seed, the Christ, the victor. And we also have that great hope, people of God. Enmity continues as Satan desperately fights. But we know that the seed has already come. He has destroyed Satan and sin at the cross. Satan fights. But again, remember his crushed head. Blood is flowing profusely from his skull. Life is ebbing away. He's almost dead. Satan is destroyed in principle. This is our hope. The victory has been already fulfilled at the cross. Christ only needs to come and finally consummate that victory at the end of time. Satan and his seed will be finally and fully destroyed soon, and then peace. Peace will result. Then we will have peace in the full realization of covenant fellowship with our God. Do you hope for that? Do you hope for that covenant fellowship with God? Do you hope for the destruction of Satan and his seed? Though Satan rages, and he does rage, rest in the fact that God will preserve his covenant with you now. He did not let Adam and Eve go, and neither will he let you go. Trust in him. Lean on him. Satan may rage, and he may at times be seemingly successful. But hope. Hope in the covenant of God. Hope in the unconditional fellowship that God continues to have with his people. And know, as Romans 16, verse 20 says, know that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Hope in this. Soon the seed of the woman will come on the clouds of glory, and he will crush Satan's head once and for all. He will give that final blow. And then perfect peace will be ours. Then perfect rest. Then perfect covenant with our God. Amen. Our faithful covenant God, we pray that thou would continue to preserve us, maintain us, and help us to engage in this enmity. Do not allow Satan to overcome us, and send thy Son quickly to bring us to thee. We pray, O Lord, come. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.